Welcome back to the Winning Hand Podcast, the podcast all about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. I am your host, Boom Guy, as always. And today I'm joined by Lazy Titan.
How's it going?
And a special returning guest, Lethus.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Lethus. You were on a couple episodes ago, and I had a number of people send me messages on Discord and our Gmail, winninghandpodcast@gmail.com, telling me that they loved the episode you were on, they loved your perspective, and they wanted me to bring you back. So, to my credit, I'm a man of the people. This is the people's podcast, and I listened to them, and here you are. You're back again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very flattered. Does this mean that you like Red Dagger now?
I do not like Red Dagger, and many
absolutely
people,
not.
I think you had a terrible take. I don't like Red Dagger, but a lot of people messaged me telling me how wrong I was on the last episode. A number of them saying, I can't believe how wrong you guys were.
Absolutely
Red Dagger's great.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it is your podcast. You can delete the episode.
Yeah, I won't
delete
it.
You already have.
It was a good episode. I just still won't play Red Dagger.
We just edited out all your audio.
It's just blank.
Ouch.
No. So I'm glad that you're back. We kind of introduced you last time, so we don't need to do that again. But we have a card that you brought along today, a War Machine card, which I'm excited to get into. Before we get to that, as always, we're going to talk about what we've been playing recently. And Lethus, I will let you go first because you are the guest. What have you been playing recently?
I've been going back to revisit some of the heroes that always seem like they had more potential than I recognized. Mm. And so one of those is Scarlet Witch, who the community has always said is really, really powerful, and I've never understood it. Mm-hmm. So I've gone back and just tried to give her a little bit of time to shine, see if I can figure out what makes her tick, play her a little better than I previously have, because my historic attempts with her have been pretty terrible.
And how did it go?
Middling. Mm. I still don't think she's as powerful as a lot of people do, but I at least understand her better. I feel like her cards make more sense to me now than they did before. Whereas when I first played her, I felt like I never really knew when to play her stuff. Mm-hmm. And part of the answer is you just do it, play stuff, her stuff all the time. But yeah, lots of weird decisions to make. She plays very differently from everybody else in the game.
She is, I have to say, it's not often we agree. I agree with you on this one. Scarlet Witch, everyone says, is really strong and really amazing. I have never really gotten there with her.
Absolutely not. We're not going to stand here and talk about how mystics are bad. We're not doing that.
Okay. No one said she's
bad. It says mystic on the card. So it's top five heroes. Let's not.
That's the qualifier.
No one said she's bad.
She's not top five.
She's not top five. That's crazy.
Very good.
I don't know. Well, tell me why then, Lazy Titan. Tell us why. Because I'm with Lethus on this one.
So you're a mystic. Six hand size. Easy.
Okay.
She has, her ability is pretty solid. But mostly it's the Hex Bolt. Hex Bolt, you get four copies of it, which the only other person who has four copies of a card is Quicksilver. So you have four copies of that. It's two cost. It almost always draws you at least one card and then also does other stuff. And so with a decent hand, and it's also a superpower, so you can reduce its cost. You can play like three or four of those things a turn. And then you can just like chip away at everything, draw a bunch of cards, keep going. You have all the mystic stuff. So you have the spiritual meditation. It's just, and if you're playing Justice, which I normally play here, and you have even more card draw with what the one that brings out a side scheme.
One way or another. Clearly.
One way or another. It's a recipe for a lot of power really fast.
What's the other one called? Like Molecular Disintegration or something like that?
Molecular Decay.
Molecular Decay. That one also a lot of damage.
It's good. I think Hexbolt is solid. I think her signature ally is not very good.
No, he's not. He's terrible.
I'm just going to go on record. And I don't know. I don't know. She's never really, I mean, I don't think she's bad by any means, but I've never gotten her to the point where the rest of the community seems to be, which is that she just blows through stuff. I've never gotten there. So I'm with you on this one, Lethus. That's surprising that we have the same take.
It might change. You never know. Give it time.
Yeah. We'll come around to disagreeing.
We always get there.
We usually start there. I'll go next. I've been going back through some of the heroes that came out more recently, the X-Force wave, in particular Angel, who is a contender for coming to the con with me. But Con of Heroes aside, I quite like Angel. He might be my favorite from the X-Force wave, and maybe that's a surprising take. He's really strong, but I just think the decisions are interesting of like when to switch. As anybody who listens to this podcast know, I talk about Vision all the time. One of the things I like about him is that depending on what form you're in, he's very versatile. I feel like Angel's also very versatile. Can kind of do what you need him to do. Can flip and do damage, flip and do thwarting, draw lots of cards. More cards is just better. The aerial trait got a huge boost with him, obviously, so he's quite strong. But yeah, I played him in a number of different aspects. I like him in protection. He's, you know, leadership is leadership. He's good in all aspects, actually. I've not played him in pool, so I can't say all. But 4 out of 5 now, the real aspects I've played him in, and he's strong and really fun. So, yeah, a winner for me. Anybody have thoughts on Angel?
Angel's awesome.
He is. Lethus, you got so thoughts good on Angel? You don't like Angel?
I don't particularly like Angel, bro. But I mean, you knew this. You like him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is more interesting than I expected when I first looked at him, but I just don't enjoy him.
Hmm.
I'm not knocking him.
That's fair.
It's just not for me.
That's fair. No, everybody has.
That's a take I can respect.
Yeah.
I can respect not liking it, but saying he's bad, he's
no, so that's good. Crazy talk. He's good. He's.
I don't
good.
Think you can say he's bad.
No. Is he the strongest out of that wave? Like consistently?
It might be Domino.
That wave or is X-23. So Cable, Domino, X, Angel, Psylocke.
And Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's a crazy wave.
Is he consistently the strongest across all the aspects? Maybe. I don't know. I feel like he doesn't have a bad aspect. He's good in all of them.
I might consider him the strongest in that wave, actually. I hadn't really thought about that.
He's up there.
Yeah, just the fact that he gets kind of bonuses off of all the aerial cards. Mm-hmm. The aerial cards are generally good.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to be aerial to use them, and he doesn't care. Yeah, he might actually be the strongest one in that wave.
Yeah, he's really good.
Domino's crazy.
Domino's crazy good, yeah.
He may be more versatile.
Yeah.
Domino's more fun.
Domino in leadership, I know, is ridiculous.
Leadership is crazy. Leadership is leadership.
But aggression's the good one.
All right, Lazy Titan. What have you been playing recently?
I have been playing. I've been playing a lot of Crossbones. I've been doing Crossbones recently. He's an OG. He's one of my favorites because you get 3 encounter sets.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like top 5, but he's a solid one that I keep going back to because he's got 3 encounter sets and decently low health, so he's pretty quick. So even in a 2-player game, you're still getting like. You get enough that you can actually try your stuff, but it's not like going to drag out. Crossbones games often feel very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing him with a bunch of different heroes, bunch of different aspects, because he has a little bit of everything. He attacks you for a decent amount of damage. He makes you spend extra resources to get rid of his weapons. He's got good side schemes.
He's got piercing.
And if you put in encounter sets, you can really up the damage on some of those. You can put some really nasty encounter sets in there, make some really big minions. He's just very versatile and good for deck testing, I think, because you can build Crossbones to perfectly counter your deck if you really want to test it, or you can build it to complement it if you really want to get like a YouTube thumbnail.
Yeah, well, that, calling out YouTubers, that's not going to be popular. No, I think, yeah, Crossbones is probably my most played scenario at this point, I would say. Yeah, that one or Mutagen Formula, I think, are probably the two that I've played the most. I mean, they've been out a long time, so that works in their favor. But I just really like Crossbones, actually. I think he's really fun. I think the weapon upgrades he get make him hard. He doesn't have a ton of hit points, so he doesn't feel like a slog. When you get to the last kind of third of the game, some villains can feel like you're just kind of just got a lot of hit points to chew through. I feel like Crossbones never overstays his welcome, but it's got a lot of versatility when you mix up the encounter sets. Yeah, he's good. Lethus, thoughts on Crossbones?
He's okay.
Ooh.
I think Crossbones drops too quickly. The main concern is really just when you knock him to stage 2 and dealing with the machine gun shots.
Mm.
But sometimes the machine gun comes up early, so it just doesn't even matter, and you just annihilate him.
But he's got those other the weapon upgrades, right, that he gets. Those can be tricky.
Sometimes, but it's kind of like the goblin gimmicks from mutagen formula, where just because it doesn't put any immediate pressure on you, you have time to respond. So Crossbones doesn't usually put a lot of pressure on you. Like, he's a good testing villain for sure. And you're both right. He never overstays his welcome. He goes down pretty quick.
Yeah. I quite like him. I play him a fair bit. He's one of those that I know I've played so many times that I just know him really well. So you just fly into the cards anyway, and he doesn't have 100 hit points that you just have to kind of slog through. But All right, well, we will next get into some audience reviews and questions. All right, well, we are going to get into some audience questions. Before that, someone left us a review on iTunes, and I'm going to start reading these as people leave them because I appreciate that you all took the time. So this one says, excellent MCLCG podcast. Reviewing one card is the hook, but these guys have added listener questions, what they've been playing, discussions, and so much more. I'm always looking forward to the next episode. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, Brad Olson. You are also quite excellent for leaving that review. If you like the podcast, take 30 seconds and leave a 5-star rating and leave a review. That's super helpful for the podcast for us to grow. And if you don't like the podcast, you should find something better to do with your time. Don't waste it here if you don't like it.
And make sure to just compliment me a lot and just really stroke my bulbous ego.
Yep. Okay, we have two audience questions today. Normally we'll only do one, but we are going to go extra special and do two because Lethis is here. One, we got an email directed kind of right at you, Lazy Titan, so we're going to hit that one second. Before that, we are going to read the other question. It is about specialization upgrades, and this comes specifically out of the episode that we talked about Drax. So there's a number of episodes ago now. I'm going to read this out, and then we'll answer it. Good morning to the Winning Hand podcast. I've been debating with my group which of the four specialization upgrades is best suited to put on Drax. This question assumes you're playing a multiplayer because Drax would struggle to clear the specialized training player side scheme by himself unless you built him in Justice, and let's face it, anybody who builds Drax in Justice is probably two steps away from being a serial killer. That's no joke, folks.
I like this guy.
The four specialization upgrades you can choose from are as follows, and he lists them, right? There's Combat Specialist, which gives you +1 attack, and you draw a card after performing a basic attack. There's the Frontline Specialist, which gives you +4 hit points, and you draw a card after taking damage from an enemy attack. Surveillance Specialist gives you +1 thwart, and you draw a card after doing a basic thwart. And Defense Specialist, you have +1 defense, and you draw a card after performing a basic defense. I think it's easiest to eliminate Surveillance Specialist, he says. However, depending on the build, I could make a strong case for any of the other three. Personally, my vote is Frontline Specialist. That's the one that gives you hit points and you draw a card after taking damage. But you could get me to choose Combat Specialist if you twist my arm. But then again, I could also see a case being made for Defense Specialist. What are your thoughts? I've been listening to the podcast from the beginning. Keep up the great work, Jeremy.
This is a easy one for me.
I think it's easy too. Lethis might have a different opinion, but
I might.
You are the Drax lover among us, Lazy Titan. Why don't you go first?
I guess ultimately it doesn't really matter. It's not the defense one, because if you're playing Drax the way I play Drax, why are you defending? Stop doing that. You're doing it wrong. That's one step away from being a serial killer, even closer. Thwarting is honestly more reasonable than defending.
Even closer.
If you're playing Drax the way I do it, which I think is the best way to do Drax, you're going to take damage every turn, and you're also going to attack every turn. And since they're going to be used once, they're basically interchangeable.
Yeah.
However, since one of them gives you +1 attack, that puts out to more damage, the extra hit points puts out to more. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's the attack one. Because the card draw is interchangeable, but the +1 attack is going to get you more mileage because you're using that multiple times a turn.
Yes.
That makes, with everything on him, that makes Drax's base attack 7. With your symbiote suit and your weapons and your stuff, that means that you're swinging for 7 every time. If you're multiplying that by 2, 3, 4, 5 times, that just gets you more mileage. That's more damage. And it should kill the villain faster than those 3 hit points will get you.
4 hit points. But also, I agree with you. I think you could use parry, right? Which is going to prevent any damage from being taken. The villain could get stunned. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason you could miss out on that one. I really think the attack one is the no-brainer here.
Safest bet.
Plus one attack. You're going to draw a card every time you attack anyway. So you just want to hit that basic attack.
You get an extra card one time.
Double tap that every time. What do you think, Lethus?
In a vacuum, I actually agree with you. Both of you.
We agree.
I know. Momentous occasion.
Yeah. Write it down.
The only caveat for it, I think, is just that the specialist cards are unique. So I don't think there could be multiple copies of, say, combat specialist on the table.
No. Nope.
So it depends a little bit on what the rest of the team is,
I suppose.
So there might be an argument for letting somebody like, say, Quicksilver take it. But in a vacuum, yeah, I agree with you. Like, Drax is, yes, attacking is good. Hitting harder is good.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. If somebody else wants it, they can fight me for it.
Fight me, coward.
And I'll win. So I don't feel like there's an argument here.
If you run Quicksilver, if someone's running Quicksilver, then he's probably better than taking the damage because Quicksilver is a little soft and he doesn't want to be taking damage. So
he's
going to
defend
that.
It every turn, though. Like, Quicksilver's going to defend every turn. So he could take the defense one.
True.
If you have two people, if you have an X-23 deck at the table, then maybe you take, then I think she wants the hit points more because she's going to take damage.
Then
to
the
herself.
Game is over so fast. Why are we divvying up the specialization upgrades? Like, no one's even going to clear the side scheme. We're just going to die. That's true. We're thinking too hard.
Related question. Have you been running the specialist cards in your decks lately?
The player side scheme?
Specialized training.
I do not run it all that often. What about you?
I haven't. There was like one deck I was running and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a couple months ago.
I ran it most recently in a Penny Parker deck. And she thwarts a ton and uses basic activations. That was a no-brainer.
That's pretty
good. I'm going to go ahead and give my hot take on the specialization training or specialized training. The reason I don't put it in more decks is because it's just kind of a hassle to pull it out of every deck and put it in. It's kind of like build support. I only have one copy. Build support has become like an auto include card, and it's just kind of a hassle to fetch it out of every deck and put it in another one. So I just end up forgetting about it and just playing without it.
I gotcha.
So I'm just lazy, I guess. I have more than one deck built at a time.
That's
so
my thing.
It's just like, you know, how many decks do you have built at any given time, Lethus? Like right now, if we were on Cribs and you opened up your closet and, you know, how many decks would I see?
I just dismantled them all. So
all of them?
This moment, I don't keep decks put together for like long periods of time.
Oh.
I usually have like 3 to 5, basically one for each aspect.
Okay.
And then possibly a duplicate in an aspect if they go completely different directions, like ally-focused justice versus event-focused justice.
Mm.
Or if one of those decks is Adam Warlock, because he frequently uses a bunch of cards that nobody else is going to use anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, right this moment, I took apart all my decks in preparation for Age of Apocalypse, because I knew I was going to be playing those characters, and I just wanted to get everything cleared.
Interesting. I, at any point, usually have like between 4 and 6, so not far off from you, like decks built at a time. Sometimes more, sometimes less. When you get above like 6 to 8, you really start kind of pushing at some cards. So you're taking less optimal. Although, like, you can still, I think, build quite a few decks before you really start to hit like the point where decks are really diminishing.
By now, there's so many like trait based decks that you can go with that just don't have overlap.
Yeah, agreed.
That you can get away with it.
I think
it's honestly an interesting deck building exercise to see how many different decks you can build before you need duplicate cards. So if you have the whole collection, or even if you don't, try and build as many different decks as you can without overlapping strategies to test your
I think
your
there you run into
thinking.
Like your point about needing overlapping cards is that I don't need build support to overlap, but I could probably put it in every deck. Yeah. And I don't need Maria Hill in every leadership deck, but she probably fits in 90% of them unless you're running.
Yeah, but you
like
only have one copy.
Exclusive.
So that's,
I know,
that's
the
limit.
So like you might quickly run out then, you know, if the test is when you want more cards.
No, it's when you really can't do it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm talking like you're building an aggression deck and you actually just don't have any events to like any like and you don't have like enough copies of events to really make a good damage dealing deck.
You'd run out of heroes before you run out of cards.
I disagree. Like, I think you could
make decks that work. They may not be good, but they are functional decks.
Okay, let's say good decks. I don't want to build a deck where I'm running like hit and run and punch them up all day. Like that's not fun. That's arguably not a viable deck. So
are you arguing that hit and run is not a viable card?
Yes. That card's terrible.
Well, we have a subject for another episode now.
Lupus, is that a good card?
Don't tell me you're playing hit and run next year in 2024.
It's not a great card. It is a playable card, though.
Beat 'em up.
Oh, okay. It's playable. Beat 'em up.
Beat 'em up is bad.
Okay. Fine. Oh my God. Thank you.
All right.
It doesn't make me happy.
Okay. I was thinking
me a little bit.
The year of our Lord 2024, and we're still playing hit and run and beat 'em up. We need to have some reevaluations here.
If you would like to send in a question and have Lazy Titan talk smack, please do winninghandpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave us a comment on YouTube if you're there, or Spotify or Instagram, wherever you find us, leave a comment. I will listen and respond. Next, we are going to get into the card of the day. And we are back. It's time to get into the card of the day, which is Gauntlet Gun from War Machines Pack. Lethus, do you want to read the card for us today?
I absolutely do. So, Gauntlet Gun is a 2-cost upgrade with a physical resource printed on it. It has the traits tech and weapon, and its ability is a resource ability. It says exhaust the Gauntlet Gun as a cost to generate a wild resource for a War Machine event and place one ammo counter on War Machine.
I looked it up. I have a fun fact for you all. I looked this card up today on Marvel CDB. It turns out this card is in 100% of the War Machine decks on Marvel CDB. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that. That's shocking.
I had a sneaking suspicion.
I mean, I guess I would have assumed because it's pretty good, but
that's the kind of deep cutting analysis you come to Winning Hand for. So
yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
No, there's 2 copies of this in his deck, right? In his pre-con, in his set of 15 cards. You wanted to talk about this card today, Letha. This was your suggestion. Why'd you want to talk about this card today?
So, one, this card has introduced more rules questions than I think any other card in the entire game. And at least my interpretation of how it works has changed at least twice due to FFG rulings. It's been extraordinarily confusing. And it's probably the most controversial card in his kit. I think people feel differently about a lot of War Machines cards, but this one seems to get people fired up. Like, they think this card is really, really good or really, really bad. I don't think a lot of people are kind of sitting in the middle on this card. Everybody's very opinionated that I've talked to about it.
Well, let's go through the rules changes that you mentioned. So why don't we start there before we get into the card? This is a good thing to talk about because there have been some rule changes. I was playing this card wrong for a long time, or I started playing it wrong when the rules changed. I don't know. Why don't you talk us through the rule changes?
Oh, man, I don't have an encyclopedic recall of each of them, but the gist of the questions was, when can you actually exhaust Gauntlet Gun to, quote, generate a resource and place an ammo counter? The root of this question came from asking whether or not you could exhaust Gauntlet Gun to pay, well, whether you could exhaust Gauntlet Gun just to put a counter on War Machine.
That's what I was doing for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were. You were not alone in this. And then whether or not you could exhaust Gauntlet Gun to, say, pay the ammo cost for firing War Machine's missile launcher, which requires you to pay one ammo in order to exhaust it and deal damage. And I don't remember exactly what the rulings were at each point in time, but the original problem with this card was how resource abilities worked. So like this bullet point is still there. It says a resource ability can be triggered anytime the player who controls the ability is generating resources to pay a cost. I don't think you should say that. I think you should just be paying a cost.
I think this is just nerds being semantic, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a card game. That's the whole game. All right.
But also FFG rulings are kind of nonsense. They just kind of make rules up on the fly. They just kind of shoot from the hip a lot. And I don't really love that, but that's what we got.
So There is now a bullet point in the 1.5 RRG under resource ability that says a resource ability that generates a resource only for a specific type of cost cannot be triggered when paying a cost not of that type. So if you are generating a resource with the Gauntlet Gun, which specifies that the resource has to be generated for a War Machine event, you can only use it when you're paying for a War Machine event.
I guess follow-up question, now that I'm thinking on it, if I am playing a one-cost War Machine event, can I use both my Gauntlet Guns and overpay for it and get two ammo? Because it would pay for that, and you can overpay for any card.
I want to say you could.
It sounds like I could.
Yeah, I mean, early on,
this is why we need
early on. I was playing these Gauntlet Guns to just exhaust them to generate resources. Like if I had nothing else to do, I would just exhaust them, drop some ammo counters on, right? Because to me, everything before the arrow is the cost. Everything after the arrow, you just complete as much as you can. You have to complete everything before the arrow, but you don't have to complete everything after. Is like generally how it has worked, and so. I don't know, 2 years ago, whatever, and I took him to the con, that's what I was doing. And I would play and just be like, all right, well, I'm out. I'll just exhaust this, put another ammo counter on, which made War Machine a lot smoother, I'll be honest. And then somebody was like, you can't actually do that. And there was a whole thing. And
was
so
it
now
me?
I know you can't.
Did I do it?
But no, it was not you. It was not you. It was one of the other people from our game group, actually, I was playing with. He was like, you can't do that. And I was like, well, why not? Seems like you can based on the language. But yeah. So you were going to say, you looked it up, right? What's the rule now?
So the rule under resource ability in the 1.5 RRG says a resource ability that generates a resource only for a specific type of cost cannot be triggered when paying a cost not of that type. So you can only exhaust the Gauntlet Gun to generate a resource and an ammo counter when you are paying for a War Machine event.
Okay, so the card is... or has been throughout its life cycle, controversial. The rulings are not clear. People are unsure how to play it. So that aside, let's kind of jump into talking about the card the way we usually do, and then we'll get to more of this as we go, I think. So first of all, the art. It's important to shout out that there is an artist, actually. This is not from a comic. The artist's name is Juan Santa Cruz. I think I said that right. What do you guys think about the art?
I like it. It's simple.
I think it's the point across.
Yeah. So for listeners who may not have mental images of the card.
Yeah. Thank you.
It is basically a shot of Rhodey holding his right arm out with the Gauntlet Gun kind of springing up off of his wrist with smoke coming out of the barrel with flavor text that says, time to see what these babies can do.
Surprisingly, the picture in both of them is him holding his right arm. So...
it's a machine gun.
I guess.
Multiple shots.
It's not quite as bad as the white hands on Miles's web shooters. That one I still can't get over.
That.
But, you know, you could have, I don't know, I guess it's in a whole other art piece you have to commission, but you could have done different ones. Either way, that's a minor quibble. I think I'm on record saying that in terms of hero identity cards as a whole, I think War Machine might have the best art across the board. I really love the light gray and dark gray with the red accent stripe. I think that looks great. I think the helmet in the bottom right, which is always one of my pet peeves, some of those are hideous. I think that one is really nice looking. And I just think his art is really, really good. Like across the board, the chassis, the missile launcher, full auto, all of it is really good. His hero card is awesome.
Both sides of his hero card are really cool.
Yeah, I think he's got great art. So
I think War Machine Hero might be my favorite art. Hero art definitely in the game, maybe art period. The little flash line, I don't know what really know what to call it, but like the line on his arc reactor that like you can tell it's like really bright and kind of like it's like slightly blurry because he's like sliding into frame. I just think it's really, really sick.
So I think I'm on record saying that I think as an art piece, like his 15 cards, he has very few that don't hit for me.
No, I agree with you on that. I think the art for War Machine's kit overall is very good. And like flavor wise, I feel like his kit kind of embodies or speaks to the hero very well. Like War Machine as a hero is pretty simple and straightforward. He just has a suit that allows him to bring overwhelming firepower to a situation.
Yep.
And he kind of revels in it. He kind of loves it. And that comes through in a lot of his kit, both through the art and the flavor text.
Yeah, it's over the top. I mean, it's, you know, it's not Rocket holding a giant gun that's three times the size of his body, but still, it's, you know, it's a lot of firepower, and I dig it.
Except when it is, because if you look at the art of Full Auto, different card, but
that's crazy.
That's very Rocket-esque. There's more gun than man on
it's
that.
It's like a Looney Tunes image.
Most, so many, it's very Looney Tunes. They're just like so many guns, so many lasers, so much smoke and rockets and explosions.
True.
Why not?
True. I think Missile Launcher, this is off topic, but Missile Launcher is my favorite of his art, with him like flying out of the exploding fire behind him with the lights on his eyes. Like, that's the best art card of his. But Gauntlet Gun is good. It's a little more utilitarian. It's not quite as flashy, but like you said, it gets the point across. It's him pointing. There's like smoke coming out of the gun, so he clearly just fired it. You know, he's locked in. He's Iron Man. And it's time to see what these babies can do, which is like flavor text describes what the man's trying to do. I don't know if we mentioned this, but it is a physical resource, if that matters, if you ever spend it. Generally, you don't, because it's good for his kit. So let's go into the thematics then. We kind of talk about the art. Does this feel like it fits thematically with War Machine, the character, and then like synergizes with his kit?
I would say yes. I think... from, because we're just talking about the art of all of his cards. Every War Machine card, from what I can see, from just, I don't have it in front of me, but just from a quick Google search, every War Machine card I can see has him shooting in at least two directions. He's never just shooting at one thing. He's always shooting at least two things unless he's in Alter Ego. So what this card lets you do is, it usually, because my main gripe with War Machine before I really understood how to play him was that his events all cost ammo. So you run out of ammo really fast if you're just trying to play his like one cheap events, his like one cost, his one that does four damage and one that does three thwart that each remove an ammo counter. And those kind of suck to play if you're playing your ammo and a card from your hand. But what the Gauntlet Guns do is basically just let you play one or two of those a turn, which smooths his kit out a ton. It makes playing those War Machine events super easy, and it means you only need your ammo for the big guns. You need it for your full autos, you need it for your his one that does three to everybody, and you need it for your shoulder cannon and your gauntlet and your rocket launcher. It takes something off your plate, and so part of his problem was the economy. He like runs out of ammo very quickly if you don't do it right, and this sort of smooths out that economy in a very satisfying way, and it lets you feel more like War Machine because you're just like shooting at this, shooting at that, clearing that, blasting that, and you're kind of doing the thing. And I think that feels very satisfying, and it feels very War Machine.
I think FFG got, for me, the economy still doesn't quite work here. War Machine is just a little bumpy, and I think by the time we got to someone like Gambit, who's also using counters to boost his cards, that works better. I think that system, I like Gambit less, ironically, but I think that works a little bit better, because if you don't have counters, you can still do things. Here, if you run out of ammo, he just like can't do much. I mean, he can play aspect cards, but without ammo, he really can't play any of his cards. So instead of using ammo to just boost those cards, you have to spend the ammo and also pay the cost for the card.
I disagree that Gambit did it better.
Ooh.
I think Gambit is better, but I don't think he did the resource thing better, because you don't really ever spend Gambit's resources. Like with War Machine,
you do.
War Machine, you like to flip every turn, is how I've found the best way to get ammo. You have to flip every turn to really get the most of your ammo. And if you flip every turn, I feel like you almost never run out of ammo. Like I never feel pressed for ammo.
You spend a lot of time on Alter Ego with a guy who can't really thwart.
But that's, you know, he's not great. That's what it is. But when you play Gambit, you flip every turn and you just get a charge counter, and then you can also thwart. So there's like not a lot of risk. And then you just like never really use those until it's the end of the game and you play your Royal Flush and you deal damage to him. You're not really ever playing those, using those charge counters. So it doesn't feel as fun. It doesn't feel like you're like throwing them around all the time. With War Machine, you're always spending ammo, doing this, doing that, getting ammo, spending like trying to get as much ammo as you can, using the bunker, using this, gauntlet guns. People are literally trying to bend the rules of the game to try and get more ammo out of this card, just to drain every drop of ammo you can out of this economy.
I think it would really help if War Machine had a resource card like Gambit that got him ammo counters or something.
Yes. I think that would be great. Or even like a zero cost event like Groot that just says like get 5 ammo.
Or if the munitions bunker didn't have to exhaust using it both times, you know, if you could just be an alter ego and exhaust it and then flip up and still get the ammo off, but you can't do both of that?
I think my biggest gripe is that the one cost events cost ammo. I think the one cost events shouldn't cost ammo. And then when you use your gauntlet guns, you're going up in ammo for your bigger events later. I think that's the easiest way to fix it. And while you're at it, you can even fix the rules change with, you can fix the rules thing with the gauntlet guns and just say it generates a resource for a war machine event. And then separately, you can have another clause that says you can also just exhaust it to get an ammo. So you can either get the resource and the ammo or just the ammo if you don't need it to just simplify it.
Lethus, jump in this madness.
So many topics to choose from here. Thank you. War Machine's kit is interesting. I really like Gauntlet Gun. I think this can be the heart of a strategy in playing him, but it's not necessarily the heart of the strategy in playing him. He's one of those characters that how much he values a given card in his kit very much depends on what else you're trying to do with the deck. A really egregious example of this where it doesn't work out very well is somebody like Valkyrie, where her spear, which gives her defense, only kind of matters if you're really attaching Deathglow to the villain and really focusing on...
It's really not what she wants to do. It's kind of
nailing
counter,
the villain over and over again. I know. But my point is, like, some cards work better depending on what you're trying to do with the character. Gauntlet Gun is the key card that lets War Machine stay in the fight longer. It's the one that makes it so he doesn't need to flip down all the time. It's the one that lets him keep playing additional events while staying up. If you're going to flip down, you just play Munitions Bunker and you're fine. It doesn't really matter. I think his resource or his events are a little under-costed generally from a resource perspective. But if you have Gauntlet Guns out, you can play his events no problem, and you can stay up in hero form for quite some time. If you're flipping down all the time, you don't really need that. It's just not that high a priority for you. There's other ways to, you're going to get ammo just from flipping naturally. So it's much less important in that case. But I like that because if you ever played any of those games, like I felt this playing like Star Wars Squadrons, where like you're managing a system. You're shifting power around from the shields to the weapons, to maneuverability, like focusing where you want your energy and resources in the moment. And Rhodey's a pilot. Like, he has a flying machine now, and he had one before, and it works the way that he kind of thinks. He doesn't have just a static power level for what he does. He shifts things around based on what he needs at the time. So what you're going to value most playing War Machine kind of depends on you and what aspect you're playing him in. And I like that flexibility that he has. I don't think he's the strongest hero in the game, don't get me wrong. But I think he's really fun, and I think his kit suits him well. And I like that he has kind of this different take on assembling his suit as opposed to Iron Man or Ironheart. The way that they all assemble their suits feels very different from each other. And War Machine is the only one who has the like native 6-hand size in Alter Ego and 5-hand size in Hero form, but still feels like he has to put his suit together in some way.
Yeah. Okay. It's a very reasonable take from a guy I usually disagree with. I don't
know. I agree. War Machine's not amazing, but he's like there. One of my favorites sneakily. I like him a lot. He's so fun to play.
I think I got there first, Lazy Titan. I was on the War Machine train, and you were like,
you were on the
trash.
War Machine train, and then asked me. You said you came to me.
I came to the Dexbert.
On your knees, begging, hands in front of you, prostrate before me, and said, hey, "Please, sir, please, I need to understand how to do this." And I said, "The Dexbert graces you with his wisdom," and then we both built a War Machine deck, and from then on, we understood how War Machine worked. That's how I
you
remember
him at the con last year. He was good.
I did. I brought him at the con. I had a ton of fun with him. I like him a lot. I think the flipping every turn solved War Machine for me. And I know, like you just said, Lethus, you don't have to flip every turn. And if you use the gauntlet guns, you can stretch that out. I don't like doing that. I try and flip whenever I can because I don't play solo, so I don't have to worry about threat that much. I'm usually playing Justice, so I can deal with that, or I have a friend who can. I prefer to flip just because if you flip every turn with the gauntlet guns and the bunker, you really almost never run out. You're never like really needing ammo. You always have enough. And that's that feels like War Machine, right? That feels like you get that defense budget, those 800 and whatever billion dollars every year that you can really do whatever you need with. That feels good. It feels like you feel like you're doing a lot of things, but you're also not destroying the game. So you get that feeling of like, I'm helping, I'm doing stuff. My deck is efficient. It's doing things without being Ironheart and just like, oh, I kill the villain. And then like, that's it. Mm-hmm. So you get to like have a fun game and have a whole game.
Invalidating stage two.
Ironheart's just cheating.
Well, he's probably the worst of the Iron Suit heroes, right? Oh, like just power level. And it's probably not even close. Lethus?
I'm thinking. Iron Man. I'm not sure. Maybe.
The seven hand size in Iron Man's so good, though.
Iron Man's good, though.
Seven hand size just is so powerful. Even if you don't play any Iron Man cards. Like, seven hand size is so good. And his lightning resource card, it's like one for one. You discard five cards, extra damage equal to your lightning resources. Like, that's really good. I've built an Iron Man deck with lightning resource. You build around it heavily. You can really put some damage out there. And he's got a 2 for 8 if you have Aerial. Mm-hmm. Like, he's
quite
good.
Pepper Potts is good. Like, he's a good...
He's old, so he's a little clunky, but he is actually pretty cohesive, and I think he has a really fun kit. He's like maybe one of the more well-constructed kits in the core set, I would say.
I think War Machine is possibly the most aggressive-minded character in the game after Hulk.
Valkyrie?
Drax? X-23? Deadpool?
No. Maybe
that's
Drax.
That's a hot take.
But like, so typically... In a hero's kit, they have, you know, 2 or 3 attack events, 2 or 3 thwart events,
a defense event,
2 or 3 defense events, their ally, and then a few upgrades. Not all of War Machine's damage cards are labeled attacks, but he has 6 events that deal damage, an ally that has 2 attack, and
6 different
2
events?
Upgrades that are both dedicated to damage.
Not 6 different events. He has 6 copies. There's 3 events, right?
It's 3 events.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's Repulsor Beam, Scorched Earth, full auto. The only defensive card he has outside of the ally, chassis. Of course, is the upgraded chassis.
Yeah.
So like all of his focus went into how can I obliterate things? And he is very consistently able to deal a bunch of damage pretty easily.
I don't play War Machine like that. The way I play War Machine is a very slow burn. I flip a lot. I build it. Well, that's because I guess the deck that I play, my Justice deck, I do Float Like a Butterfly, and I just flip down, manage the board until I flip up with 20-something ammo counters and then use my Float Like a Butterfly to make my Gauntlet Gun do 2 damage every shot. And then I basically just backdoored my way into building Ironheart because I'm a degenerate. So that's why I do that. But I think you could be aggressive with him. But I think, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of thwart. So I think you want to playing him in Justice benefits that because you already have that much aggression. Maybe that's why I play him in Justice because he already has enough aggression. Maybe you're right. Well, I don't think you're right, but you might be onto something. I don't think he's the most aggressively minded. I also don't think Hulk is the most... Maybe he's designed to be the most aggressively minded, but he doesn't succeed at that.
But for someone who's so aggressively minded, he doesn't rush well. Like, he does have to play a slow game, in my mind. Like, you got to get all the upgrades out, or at least a good chunk of them. I guess you could skip the chassis if you don't need if you don't need the tough card, but you still need the other ones out. The shoulder cannon... That's a big one a lot of people do damage with.
It depends. Like, if you're trying to play a short game, I don't think you really go for his upgrades at all. You just play the events.
I don't think you go for War Machine.
I mean, I'm not saying he's the best at it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if
Repulsor Beam is real strong, though. I mean, a 1 resource event that deals 4 damage is pretty darn good.
But you need an ammo. So you need to be playing those Gauntlet Guns to get that mileage out there, right?
Or you just flip.
And you only have 3
depends
copies.
Depends on how quickly you KO things. I mean, when he flips, he can also shuffle a card back in, right?
True.
Like on the way down and on the way back up. So
that's another thing.
Those 2 copies can become 3 or 4 pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. That is something I will say about War Machine, which is something I actually have a little bit of a complaint about a couple other heroes, because this is a recurring theme of alter ego ability is shuffle my card back in. Colossus does it. Miles does it. I feel like there's another one. And Rhodey does it. Rhodey does it the best, though, because his is action, shuffle one of your cards back in, whereas Miles and Colossus are response when you flip down. And I think that's way better. Being able to shuffle it in at the end of your turn and the start of your turn means you get 2, whereas Miles and Colossus just get 1. And I think that's a better I think that's a better way of doing it.
Yeah. How powerful is this card?
What's our ranking system?
Well, ranking just comes in at the final score. We're just kind of off the cuff here. I'll say, what do you think?
Red Rings of Ragador is S plus.
Yeah, we're grading somewhere between like a carrot and an F-16. That's the scale.
I mean, it's not his strongest card, but it's not his weakest card.
I think it's a sleeper. I think it might be, maybe not his strongest, but it's like up there, top three probably.
Is this your favorite card of his?
It's probably my favorite card for him.
Oh, okay. That is I think that's an unpopular thing.
It's a little complicated. And I understand a bunch of criticisms for this card that I could argue math about, but I like how reliable this card makes the rest of his deck. Like, you can do things. If you have one Gauntlet Gun out and you're in hero form, you draw five cards. You can do things like play Repulsor Beam or Targeted Strike and still play like a three resource ally off of a five card hand. And that's really good.
I agree.
I think the community would say Shoulder Cannon. I think that's what War Machine is known for.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah, I think that's the one that most people would say is like his, you know, standout card. I mean, the chassis is awesome. Right, it's a little expensive, but just that tough card every time is awesome. Yeah, is it the missile launcher that I'd have to look at?
Definitely not. Missile launcher just two damage with ranged.
That's the one.
Not his best card.
But it's not his best card. But is that the one that has? It's not an attack.
It's still an attack.
It just has ranged.
Scorched Earth. No, they're both attack.
Scorched Earth is not an attack. Yeah. Okay. I'm feeling a little spicy today, and I'm going to come out against some people again, and I'm going to say that I'm going to say kudos to you, Lethus, because I think that choosing Gauntlet Gun as your choice for favorite or best War Machine card proves to me that you're a good card game player. Because I think people who look at Shoulder Cannon and say, ooh, wow, big shiny mini damage, are kind of missing the forest for the trees. Because Big damage things are cool. I love Dive Bomb as much as the next guy. But what really wins the game is consistency and getting there. Dive Bomb is awesome, but you have to get there. Like, Full Auto is cool and Repulsor Blast is cool, but Gauntlet Gun is how you stretch those turns out, how you make that ammo last and get those damage counter cards in. So without Gauntlet Gun, you're not getting as many damage events. Without damage events, you're still getting damage with Gauntlet Gun. So it provides more consistency than like flashy damage, and I think that's what more veteran card game players will look for more in cards.
Okay, well, how fun is this card then, Lethus?
I think it's a lot of fun. Rhodey has that kind of hook of the ammo counters. And people have all kinds of opinions on the ammo counters. I know you do. But it leans into that gimmick, and like that alone is fun. Like, whenever a character has some sort of a gimmick, things that encourage you to play into that gimmick feel fun. Like, it fits War Machine's kind of focus on all these weapons and just like, how much destruction can I rain upon my enemies here? And I love the flavor text on this one with the image. It feels so emblematic of Rhodey and the suit. His relationship with it, where he's always kind of showboating. I do think it's funny. He's always kind of like trash talking or trying to one up Stark when Stark made the armor for him. Like, Rhodey didn't do anything here. He's just in the suit, but it's a point of pride for him, and it cracks me up. And I love, like, that comes through in this card really well too. I'm never sad to play it. Like I said, it makes the rest of his deck more consistent. I like how different it feels from the other suit characters. I really like this card. Having more ammo, you can stretch out into doing more things. Always feels good.
Yeah. Lazy Titan, how fun is this card?
I think it's a very fun card. It's cheap. Part of me wishes it was... No, it can't be one cost. Two is right.
We should talk
I wish
about
it
this.
Was one cost. Part of me wishes it was, because there are some people have one cost, like Hawkeye and Gamora. But that's pretty limited. This is almost as limited. Maybe it could be one cost.
I'm going to say hot take. This card's not fun. What you described, Lethus, is not fun. You described efficiency and like stretching out turns. When I'm talking about fun, I'm talking about full auto. That card is fun.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. This guy's
amazing. When I slap full auto down on the table, it's like, yeah, we're here to party, and I'm James Rhodes. We're going to go to town now. That card is fun. And when I see full auto in my hand and I have enough ammo counters, I'm like, let's go. We're blasting off. When I have this card in my hand, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play this because for the future, it's going to, you know, make the math work, blah, 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 nerd talk. But it's not fun. I'm not shooting stuff. You know what I mean? I want a missile launcher. I want a shoulder cannon. I want full auto. Let's go.
I think it depends on your perspective. Because like when you slap it down on the table, maybe it doesn't feel fun. But the next turn when you get to play Scorched Earth and full auto at the same time, that's pretty fun. And you wouldn't be able to do it without gauntlet guns.
That's true. That's true.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Efficiency is fun for me. I've talked about this before. Those two are one and the same. When I'm doing multiple things, that means I'm having fun. And this card, blood pumping. This like Letha said,
going,
you can play Iron Man and one of his one cost events with this card. And you don't even go down in ammo. Like, that's just crazy value.
True, true, true.
I think it relies a lot on what the gauntlet guns enable you to actually do. So, like, as an example of an efficient card that I don't think is very fun, that I think is easy to compare this to, God of Thunder that Thor has. It's a two resource.
Generates a lightning, right?
Yep, it generates a lightning resource, and that's all it does. It's very simple, straightforward. It does play into his kit a little bit because he has like the lightning strike or whatever, but it doesn't feel like it has as much flavor or character. It doesn't feel as exciting to put down. It does feel like in this an efficiency gain. It kind of feels like it's making up for his having a smaller hand size. But getting more ammo and paying for the War Machine events, like the consistency with which you can fire off repulsor beams, is awesome. It's so much fun.
That's fair. That's fair.
They put seven words on this thing and made it way more fun than God of Thunder. And that's what it's all about. And place one ammo counter War Machine. Sold me. I'm in.
All right. So we've been going around on this card a lot. Let's get to a final score. Lazy Titan, I'm going to have you go first on the final score today. As we always say, 5 is true neutral. We're rating 1 to 10. 5 is right in the middle, Lethus. You remember this from last time you were here. 5 is not bad. It's not failing. It just means...
Oh, no, it's completely left my head, but I can get on board.
Right in the middle. Lazy Titan, 5 is true neutral. Where are you at in this card?
I'm going to give this card an 8.5. Okay. I like the art on it. War Machine, like we talked about, great art all around. This is no exception to that rule. It's efficient, but also plays into the gimmick. It's fun. It lets you do more War Machine things, which is what you're trying to do when you're playing War Machine. It isn't flashy, and it's not going to win you the game on its own. Just playing this card isn't going to win you the game. But without this, you're going to win the game a lot slower. So it provides a lot of value. It's not... You don't notice it a lot if you don't think about it. You might not realize that this is what's really helping you play War Machine. But in the end, it's fun to look at. It does something. It feels well costed, and it lets you do the thing, which is what games are all about.
All right, Gauntlet Gun, the art, as we talked about, is fantastic. I love the art across the set. This is not the strongest piece of art in his set, but it's good. And the graphic design is great. I like it. I think the power and the theme and the fun let me down a little bit. First of all, the theme. We have to address why shooting your gun provides you ammo. I don't know. That's just how the card works. And it doesn't feel like as fun as the rest of the kit, which is full auto and scorched earth as repulsor beam. All great names that evoke like lots of blood pumping, Rambo shooting in the jungle. This is just like, it's a gauntlet gun. It gets you there. The numbers work. So it doesn't feel as powerful or as fun, but it is good. I will give you that. I'm going to come at a 7 out of 10 because it is good overall. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't give me the raging biceps of the 80s. You know, it's like Arnold and he's like, let's go. You know, that's what I want from War Machine. And most of his other stuff does evoke that, right? All his events, the flavor text, shoulder cannon, missile launcher, all those things. This is one just feels a little meek in comparison, right? It's all about context. So 7 out of 10. That's not bad. 7 out of 10 is good. Lethus, where are you coming down on Gauntlet Gun?
I'm proud of you, Boom Guy. I didn't expect a 7 from you.
You're okay, man. game respects game.
I might surprise you a little bit here. my rating for Gauntlet Gun is an 8. So I love this card. It's probably my favorite card to see in like an opening hand with War Machine. I think it makes the rest of his kit sing beautifully. It's a really good card for him. So on the argument of whether it should be one or two cost, if it was one cost, I think War Machine would be a lot more powerful. I do think two cost is a good cost for this card, but it took me quite a while, both in terms of thinking about the card and actually playing with the card, to get to that conclusion. And I think it's part of the kind of speed bump that people hit when they start playing War Machine. Most people who play him, I think, will agree that his resource game is a little clunky. His resource generator being a little clunky to get out onto the table inhibits that a little bit. It takes a little while of playing Rhodey to understand how to play his kit correctly, how to make the upgrades work, what to prioritize, what you should be mulliganing for, what you should find when you play Iron Man. So there's some complexity, like hidden complexity, I think, in terms of choices to make, and it's not obvious what you should be doing or how important the Gauntlet Gun is to him. So because of those reasons, I'm coming in a little bit lower than Lazy Titan, but I do think it's a great card. I give it an 8.
Rhodey, does he rank in terms of your favorite? Top third, middle third, bottom third?
Top third.
Okay. Is he going to come with you to the Con of Heroes this year? You bring in Rhodey?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have not figured out decklist. I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to go. I want to go. It's just a scheduling question. I know. It makes me sad. Okay. I'm hoping I show up.
Yeah, me too.
I think he would come with me to the Con. I also have some scheduling issues. I'm going to try. But if I can make it, I will probably... He'll probably be in my kit.
I might bring Rhodey. The more we talk about him, the more I think he's on the table for me.
I might bring Rhodey. And if we're going to play together, then you
can.
Yeah,
well, maybe if you're coming, well, we'll figure it out. Okay.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
Shout out to Joey Vasquez, the artist for the War Machine Hero art. Good job, buddy. That's my guy right there.
If you're listening, Joey, please
listening, Joey,
email me. Come on the podcast. I want to
email
talk to you.
Hit me up. I'll give you $5 because that was some good work.
I will not give you $5 because this podcast generates zero. But if you come on, I will just, you know, you can do it for the clout. Okay, so that kind of wraps up our discussion on Gauntlet Gun. We have a couple more things we're going to hit before we go, and then we are out. All right, last thing before we go. We have next episode. Episode 33 is going to be about Symbiote Suit. And we are doing a giveaway. So if you want to learn how to win the Kree Fanatic print and play set that is printed on cardstock, looks great. If you want to win that, tune in and we will tell you how to do that in episode 33. And that is going to be kind of it. We talked about the Con of Heroes. It's coming up in a couple weeks. We hope to see everyone there. I will for sure be there. That's Boom Guy. Lethus and Lazy Titan are working on getting to yes. That's important. We're going to get there. And if you like our talk about War Machine, check out the show notes because Lazy Titan, as always, as our resident dexpert, has put together a deck featuring War Machine. So you're going to want to check that out and play it. Bring it to the Con. Tell us what you think about the deck lists. He puts one every time. So if you listened this far, you really have no reason not to take 30 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. Please do that. And as I said before, if you've listened this far and you're not enjoying it, you need to rethink some things. Send me an email and I'll talk you through it. winninghandpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Well, guys, we're going to say goodbye. This is a long episode, but it was a good one. Thanks for the discussion. Thanks for bringing Gauntlet Gun. I'm always happy to talk about War Machine. Lethus, you are always welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. This is Boom Guy saying goodbye, everyone, and we will see you next time.
Later.
Adios.